Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
I don't know if you guys just heard that same commercial in Butte and Bozeman that I heard through our show feed here, but there was a commercial or a public service announcement that I just heard there. Be a part of the team to end cancer. Oh no! Oh no! I mean, could you imagine the response from MSNBC and CNN and the executive director of Eagle Mountain Billings? They're trying to end cancer. You must hate people with cancer. Do you not like people with cancer? Why do you hate people with cancer so much? You're trying to end cancer. You must hate people with cancer. Now, for those of you just getting up and rolling with this, you might be like, okay, what rant is Aaron going on right now? But if you were with us in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. President Trump just yesterday announced an effort to basically, you know, try to prevent autism in kids. And no joke, the executive director for Eagle Mount in Billings, which is an incredible organization that has an incredible history, and I don't know if they've just been taken over by some Trump derangement syndrome folks here or whatever, but President Trump says he wants to prevent autism in kids. And you would expect it from the liberal left, the liberal media, but there's a story on the KTVQ television website this morning about how the executive director for Eagle Mount Billings thinks that this is an attack on people with autism and an attack on kids with autism. It's just like, are you freaking kidding me? You don't think that you can simultaneously love people and kids with autism, but also say, hey, let's try to prevent autism in the future. I mean, it is just absolutely nuts, the Trump derangement syndrome that is out there, and the way these Trump derangement syndrome folks will try to take over and destroy any institution you can possibly imagine. Kamala Harris, though, let's get on to this story here. So Kamala Harris, in her book, after Joe Biden stepped down as the presidential candidate last year in 2024, Kamala Harris said that she tried to give a phone call to Gavin Newsom, and Gavin Newsom claimed he was taking a hike, according to Politico. Yes, then Vice President Kamala Harris tried to call California Governor Gavin Newsom, and he replied, taking a hike or something like this, on a hike, will call back. He never called her back.
It reminded me of the Obama administration's line that we would lead from behind.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that take a hike is going to be a 2028 staple.
Well, I think that's what this book is ultimately an indictment of, is a lot of people in the Democrat Party with bad instincts. I'll start with Kamala. You know, she says she wanted it to be Biden's decision because he was the president, and she wanted to demonstrate loyalty because she would look disloyal in telling him to step aside. But if you're the vice president, you are the president's designated driver. Okay. And we had a president where 83% of NBC of a poll. Do you remember those polls where 83% of the country had concerns about his cognitive well-being?
Yeah.
If 83% of the party says this guy's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you're supposed to take the keys away. Yeah. And she didn't want to step in and take the keys away.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, high temperatures will range from the lower 70s in Bozeman to the mid-70s in the Billings area. For tonight, we're expecting clear skies, overnight lows from the mid-40s in Bozeman to around 50 in Billings. And then Wednesday's outlook calls for more sunshine, with highs near 80 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. A new study says tattoos may offer protection from a dangerous form of skin cancer. The study featured 7,000 participants and was led by the University of Utah's Huntsman Cancer Institute. It showed people who underwent four or more tattoo sessions had a 56% lower risk for melanoma compared to those who've never been inked. And the risk lowered even more, 74%, for those who had three or more larger tattoos. Researchers say the tattoos act like a sunscreen and protect the skin from harmful UV rays. One of the lead authors says, though, that while the results did surprise them, this isn't a black and white case of get more tattoos and you could lower your risk of melanoma. The team notes more research needs to be done to determine if the decreased risk is simply due to behavioral or physical factors. The study appears in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Friday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We'll break down everything happening with the big, beautiful bill. We will give you also the latest on the increasing tensions rising with Iran. What do we think is going to happen there? We will break all that down for you and more. Plus, you never know, surprise guests, because we're in D.C., so you should definitely show up, hang out with us. Friday edition, Clay and Buck.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council. Dental.
Montana Talks. Uniting the Treasure State. One conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Does anybody think that California Governor Gavin Newsom was actually taking a hike when he ignored then Vice President Kamala Harris's phone call? On an incredible weekend. I mean, Joe Biden had just bowed out of the presidential race. And he says, hiking, we'll call back later. He never called back later. That was the one and only Jimmy Fallon, along with Dana Perino there, rolling right into that last break with the hilarious comments about Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris. But, yeah, Kamala Harris has her new book out now. And so she's all over the place. She's going to be all over the liberal media over the next few days. She'll probably be back on The View, I think I heard, and all these other outfits. And the word salad will commence. The word salad has already commenced. Let's see. Oh, she's out there calling Trump a tyrant. What else? So she was on MSNBC with Rachel Maddow. I thought they canceled Rachel Maddow a long time ago. Is Rachel Maddow is still on MSNBC? Does she do like the one night a week thing? You know, because she can't work a 5-day work week even. Does she do the one night a week thing? Is that what she's doing? But anyway, Kamala Harris now getting hit even by the left, even from the left, with her word salad response where she never even answers Rachel Maddow's question. As we told you yesterday on the show, last week on the show, Kamala Harris, in her new book, she wrote how she did not pick Pete Buttigieg to be her running mate for president and vice president because he was gay.
I guess I'd ask you to just elaborate on that a little bit. It's hard to hear.
Yeah.
With you running as, you know, you're the first woman elected vice president. You're a black woman and a South Asian woman elected to that high office, very nearly elected president, to say that he couldn't be on the ticket effectively because he was gay. It's hard to hear.
No. That's not what I said. That he couldn't be on the ticket because he is gay. My point, as I write in the book, is that I was clear that in 107 days, in one of the most hotly contested elections for president of the United States, against someone like Donald Trump who knows...
Anyway, she goes on and on and on. It's too long of a clip for me to play without getting MSNBC's permission here. But she goes on and on and on, and eventually... She never answers the question. She just lied to Rachel Maddow. She said, oh, no, I never wrote in the book that she didn't pick him for her running mate because he's gay. Well, and then she goes on with this word salad response, and then basically she ends up saying, she says at the end, well, it was just going to be too risky to pick Pete Buttigieg at the, you know, with only a couple of weeks to go. Absolutely hysterical to watch the snake eat itself, to watch these leftists go after each other right now. So thank you, Kamala. All right, we got an alibi from yesterday. I was trying to sneak on Rock calling in from the middle of nowhere. We were talking with Evelyn Pyburn about, you know, the business news and everything. And then I had to ask Evelyn Pyburn because she had a story in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet about Robert Redford passing away and Robert Redford's impact on Montana. And so anyway, it was kind of a funny back and forth with Evelyn yesterday because, of course, she was a big fan of Robert Redford back in the day. But anyway, Rock wanted to call in and talk about the movie A River Runs Through It and its impact on Montana. But we ended up, you know, we had Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio on the show. So anyway, Rock, thanks for calling back in today. What did you want to say about the movie A River Runs Through It?
Well, when I first moved here to Montana in 93, I lived on the Gallatin River in the canyon in a place called Beckman Flats, and that's actually where the movie was filmed. But the movie, the river in the movie is not the Gallatin River. It's a river that's over by Missoula. I don't know which river that is.
Blackfoot, right?
It was
Blackfoot for part of it. Yeah, because I fished in a part where they did a scene too, yeah.
It was so polluted that they couldn't film. They didn't want to film the movie there. But I think most of the proceeds from the movie actually went to clean up that part of the river. So that's kind of neat that he would do that. But it's kind of funny. It was over in Missoula where all the environmentalists are and stuff are, and here the river's too polluted for them to film the movie.
I wonder if that was the Clark Fork. I wonder if they were
yeah,
looking
I think
at
it. I think it was the, that's what it was. It was the Clark Fork. And so anyway, and my claim to fame is I skied with Robert Redford in the 1970s down in Vail, Colorado.
So, how'd that happen?
Anyway. The ski shop that I worked for, the guy that owned it was a friend of Robert Redford's. And, so we all went skiing together, which was pretty cool. So he was, just another guy I was skiing with. Just good old guy.
Yeah, that's cool. My grandpa got to meet Clint Eastwood back in the day when they were doing a film, I think, up at the St. Marie Air Force Base up there north of Glasgow. And my grandpa was, head of the, I think, the Chamber of Commerce for Valley County at the time or something. So he got to meet Clint Eastwood. That was pretty cool.
Clint Eastwood. I got a story about that too, down in Telluride, Colorado. My wife was got kissed on the forehead by Clint Eastwood. He was at the restaurant,
and you didn't mind. That's the only man you'd let kiss your wife was Clint Eastwood. It was on the forehead though, so that's all right. Yeah, it's kind of like the New Yorkers kissing people on the cheek kind of thing. I guess that's okay. All right, great to hear from you, Rock. Thanks for calling back.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
Only a few voters feel like they're getting ahead financially these days. But what about the bigger picture? Here's one of the questions we ask on our Fox News survey to find out. Do you think life for the next generation of Americans will be better or worse than life today? While 36% say life will be better, a much higher number, 62%, think life will be worse. That's somewhat gloomier than the 53% who felt that way a year ago. In part, that 9-point increase is because of greater pessimism among young people. However, a new president is also behind the shift. Over half of Republicans now say life for the next generation will be better than life today, even though just last year, 7 in 10 said the reverse was true. Similar story among Democrats. A year ago, when Joe Biden was president, over half were optimistic. Now most, 8 in 10, are pessimistic. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ad with Lane Nordland.
Mexico's National Health Service confirmed a new case of New World screwworm less than 70 miles from the border between Mexico and the United States. USDA says this is the farthest north the screwworm has advanced in Mexico during the current outbreak and is the most threatening to the American livestock industry. The location of the outbreak is on a major highway between Monterrey, Mexico and Laredo, Texas. Colin Woodall, the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says the news is deeply concerning, saying, quote, "The speed that the screwworm has moved through Mexico is a reminder that this pest poses a critical and urgent threat to America's cattle producers." He added that they appreciate the USDA investing resources to protect American agriculture and the FDA's work to authorize emergency treatments for screwworm and look forward to additional product approval. He also said it's time to expedite the construction of a new sterile fly facility in Texas. In other news, the latest cattle on feed report came in at 11.1 million head. That level was near pre-report trade predictions and 1% below September 1st of last year. State-by-state reports also show some higher numbers, including Texas at 91% compared to last year, Oklahoma at 95%, while Kansas was at 103%, Nebraska 105%. Placements in feedlots totaled 1.78 million head, 10% below last year. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I don't know if you guys saw this news story or a few different news stories, but President Trump's Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, was in Bozeman recently, not only talking about some of the educational initiatives taking place in the Gallatin Valley area, but also talking about some of the things going on in the schools in the Flathead as well and elsewhere across Montana. We've got a senior staffer for Education Secretary McMahon joining us here in just a few minutes. First, let's go back to your phone calls, 406-294-0970. George in Laurel. George, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for the call.
Hey, I was switching through videos on YouTube yesterday, and I ran across this one where the judge is sentencing a defendant, and she was asking him questions, and then she says, "Are you a U.S. citizen?" "Oh, never mind that. I can't ask that anymore."
And where was that at? Do you know where that judge was at? And yeah, probably in one of these.
That was in California. And I have no idea. I have no idea if that's a rule from the state or from the whoever.
Yeah, it's got to be one of those sanctuary city policies, especially if it was coming out of California. Yeah, you've got a criminal in your courtroom or, an alleged criminal in your courtroom. And, don't you dare ask them if they're also a criminal for breaking into this country illegally or if they're even a citizen of this country. Because even if you're in this country legally from somewhere else and you commit crimes in this country, you would think immigration authorities should be, given a heads up about that as well, right? Interesting. George, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Let's see. Gavin Newsom telling Kamala Harris that he was hiking, that he was taking a hike, and that's why he ignored her phone call and that he would call her back even though he never called her back. Tim and Savage said this, maybe Gavin told her to take a hike. Maybe that's exactly what he was trying to tell her, was to take a hike, which reminds me, during the next break, I need to take a hike downstairs. It's a Gavin Newsom-style hike. You know, not hiking like we as Montanans think of hiking, where you go out in the mountains or you go out in the hills or out on the open range and go for a little hike. No, it's a Gavin Newsom hike I'm going to take, which is I'm just going to hike down a few stairs and get a cup of coffee here in just a few minutes. Tim in Billings had a great message that came in towards the end of the 6 o'clock hour. And sorry, Tim, that I'm just seeing it right now. This is a very important message from Tim in Billings. He says, Aaron, we need to get Donald Trump to remind everyone to get out and vote in the midterms elections and the next couple of presidential elections as well. And so anyway, great message there from Tim in Billings. And let's see, it looks like I've got actually a great caller on the phone lines here. One second. I need to connect into my system so I can get this next guest on the show. Yeah, very excited to hear from Brian Massard. I think I've got him now with us on my phone system here, a different little phone system that we've been toying around with. Caden, let's skip the next Fox News update if we can, because I think I've got Brian Massard now with us from Reminis Angus Ranch. Brian, are you there?
I'm here. I can hear you loud and clear.
Hey, great, great. Well, I've been looking forward to catching up with you for a couple of weeks now, because, man, I think one of the last times we caught up with you, shortly after that, I was on X, and I saw these great I think it was actually Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins was sharing some photos and some video of some ranchers at the White House, and I said, whoa, there's Brian Massard right there.
Yeah, it already seems – that was 3 weeks ago. It seems like it was yesterday.
How'd it go? What'd you talk about? What was your reaction after that trip?
You know, I got the same reaction from her that I got from Secretary Kennedy. Very genuine, very ready and willing to make some serious changes, doesn't know how to make all the changes and is moving very stealthily, let's say, and fairly quiet. And the changes she wants to make, she's not interested in just coming out and making great big announcements and then nothing happens. She wants to make sure that the changes that she's responsible for, you know, can't be eroded by politics. She wants them to be long lasting. So that was a real great message she shared with us. She specifically said, please help me on some of these issues. And there's a lot of issues. And so I just sent her I told her, I said, you know, I sent Secretary Kennedy when he was still a candidate, we put an ad in the Northern Stock Radio on serious issues. Those issues are still pertinent today. And she said, send them to me. So I sent her those issues, and she texted me the following morning at 5:30 a.m. and said, I can't open it. Where is it? Don't get it to me. I need to get on this. And she was on with her team the next morning at 5:30 a.m. working on these policies, asking follow-up questions. Here's what we can't do. Here's how we have to navigate through this. And what can we do where all five ag agencies would be together and not fighting each other on little petty things? How can we move the industry together? How does that affect our consumer? How does that affect rural America? And she has a real genuine spirit about getting things done. And this morning she was on the phone at 4:30 a.m. and we were going through the updates on ag policy again and getting closer to who are the key people that have to move this. Does this have to go through legislation? Can this go through other secretaries? And I just really appreciate her, very similar to Secretary Kennedy. What do we got? Tell me what to do. We've got to help move the ball here.
Yeah, that's great to hear, because as we know, dealing with this, any of these ag policies, public lands policies, a lot of our people think it's so easy to just go in and say, well, yeah, let's fix this, let's change this. But to change one thing, sometimes you got to go through and clear a bunch of spider webs out of all sorts of broom closets there in these federal agencies. And I know one of the things you've been working on for quite some time now is, you know, dealing with this issue of saturated fat and the discrimination against good, healthy fats, which has ended up discriminating against, you know, basically cattle ranchers and other meat producers in America. And it's led to unhealthy outcomes for Americans as well. Couple minutes to go here. I know we're somewhat short on time here with Brian Massard from Reminis Angus. Brian, I just had a great message from one of our listeners the other day. They said, hey, Aaron, I heard you talking about beef tallow. Where can I find some local beef tallow? And I said, well, go check out Reminis Angus Ranch, because I know he's working on a beef tallow product. If it's not out yet, he's close. But I can definitely recommend his steaks, the Reminis Angus jerky, the beef bacon, and so much more.
Yeah, our cooking tallow isn't out yet. That's one of the gaps, and we talked about that with her too, is our beef supplements and our tallow, cooking tallow, is not there because the renderers the rendering business, there is a gaping hole in that. There's huge ones where you can just, they'll render it down, and you can buy 5 gallon buckets and it's just an air towel from wherever, all over the world. Or there's really tiny ones that couldn't do the volume that we need to do to help all of our bull customers and producers. And so that's a real bottleneck. Same with the organ supplement, the freeze drying and that. But we're working on that now. She understands that, you know, the processing, the manufacturing sectors, the cold storage facilities for small outfits like us, there's a challenge there. And she does understand that. But yeah, you can get our whipped beef tallow body cream is out. It's for sale and on the market now.
Interesting, yeah. And, of course, you can go to the Reminisce Angus Ranch website to purchase, get a lot of their products shipped to you, or you can be on the lookout at grocery stores and at town pump locations for their jerky and other products as well. I know some of the town and country grocery stores have your products. So, yeah, it's exciting to see.
Yeah, and our local Montana has been fantastic to us. We've got people all over the country ordering and asking for things. It's really, the other thing is, you know, we've put out and been pretty vulnerable about the financial stress on ag. And we've had people, hundreds of people reach out all across the country saying, keep telling that story, keep working. We have got to move out of this because ag gets destroyed every time presidents print money, every time Congress spends money and sends billions and billions of dollars all over the world. We pay the interest on that. The food sector pays the interest. We all pay the interest on it. But when the food sector gets in trouble and 17,000 of them disappear every year, it's getting right down there. We've got to start watching out for our food sector.
And some of them now, once we lose them, we may never get them back. So it's so important, this fight that you're talking about. Brian Massard, Reminisce Angus Ranch, always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for calling in. And I know you got the Angus Tour coming to your neck of the woods in Dillon here next month, which is already right around the corner as well. So that'll be a great time. All right, quick break. Back right after this.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, last week it got so crazy in the news cycle, and I was traveling all across the state of Montana. And then, of course, Sunday got a chance to go down and see so many great patriots at the Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner in Ronan for the Lake County Lincoln-Reagan Trump dinner. And so I kind of missed this one in my email inbox. I got an advisory that President Trump's Secretary of Education was going to be here in Montana. And of course, Secretary McMahon was here in Montana as part of her 50-state tour that she is in the middle of right now. But nonetheless, wanted to reach out to her and her team to see if somebody could join us on the show to talk about the big meeting that took place along with Governor Greg Gianforte last week. So what an honor right now to have Savannah Newhouse with us. She is the press secretary for Secretary of Education Linda McMahon. Savannah, great to have you on the show. Thanks for freeing up some time for us here this morning.
Thanks for having me this morning, Aaron. It's a pleasure to join you.
I have often quoted the secretary going back to January. She shared the numbers when it comes to education. For every dollar that gets spent to go towards, you know, supposedly towards education at the federal level, what was it? I say I often quote it, and now, of course, I forgot the specific quote, but, like, was it 50 cents on the dollar doesn't even go to education?
That's right. I believe the secretary says something like 47 cents out of every dollar gets spent on regulatory compliance when it comes to local education. And so, and that's just simply unacceptable, you know? I mean, that's part of the reason why President Trump is returning education to the states. The other reason, you know, over the last 45 years, the Department of Education has spent nearly $3 trillion and has produced virtually no improvement in student and reading mathematics scores. You know, just take a look at our nation's report card results that came out earlier this year. 7 out of 10 fourth and eighth grade students are not proficient in reading. And this past month, we learned that 78% of high school seniors are not proficient in math, and roughly two-thirds are not proficient in reading. And that's just simply unacceptable to the secretary and President Trump. What we're doing in education is simply not working.
Yeah, and I definitely want to talk about some of the specific things that came up in Montana last week with the secretary and Governor Gianforte. I know they had MSU President Tessman was there for the meetings as well, talked about innovation in education, especially linking kids with the career workforce. Well, before we get to the other stuff, yeah, let's just jump right into it. Talk about what came up in the meetings last week. I know some of the programs, the governor is big on trades education and also linking educational programs to career outcomes in the workforce, but also getting kids into the workforce right now. Why wait?
Absolutely. And first of all, let me start with why Secretary McMahon was in Montana for your listeners. The secretary is in the middle of a 50-state tour. She's going to go to all 50 states, hopefully in the next 6 months here. We've got a real job ahead of us. This is the Returning Education to the States tour. And it's really all about visiting classrooms, listening to local voices on the ground, and spotlighting the incredible work happening at the local level. And as you mentioned, the secretary had a great trip out west at the end of last week. And while she was in Montana, got to join Governor Gianforte in seeing a variety of different models. We toured a public elementary school in the morning and then went on to an agricultural research and teaching farm. And then on to Montana State University. So each of those steps really showed her how implementing targeted programs, for instance, boosting literacy early on in childhood, we saw that at the elementary school, or expanding workforce initiatives are really vital for student success.
Yeah, you know, here in Montana, our superintendent of public instruction, one of the things I've really appreciated of her is she doesn't fall for the fake news, for these phony fear campaigns that come out of the left-wing, you know, statewide teachers union organization. I've heard it over several years now working in you know, politics and media in Montana. You've got teachers on the left and teachers on the right who have said, look, we don't need, you know, all of these federal mandates, these unfunded federal mandates, and this is basically what your team is doing, what President Trump's team is doing, and our superintendent, you know, Susie Hedlund, recognized that from day one. She says, look, guys, all of these important programs are going to get funded, but what we're going to do and what President Trump's going to do is get these decisions back to the states, get this funding back to the states so it can actually go to the kids in the classroom and not this bureaucratic nonsense back in the swamp.
That's exactly right. And I hear a lot of that nonsense that you were just talking about all the time. But let me be clear that returning education to the states doesn't mean dismantling public schools. It doesn't mean ending federal support. And, you know, I think anyone claiming otherwise is defending the bloated bureaucracy that has failed our students for decades. What Secretary McMahon and President Trump are talking about is empowering families and giving students the freedom to learn in environments that suit them best. And, you know, the Department of Education right now functions merely as a funding pass-through for federal dollars. And, you know, it raises that important question again, why should it exist only to add red tape and hurdles to those dollars? And so I think Secretary McMahon and President Trump are just trying to empower families.
When we've seen like the USAID scandal and how our own taxpayer dollars were used against us, or how grifters were basically stealing our own taxpayer dollars, I'll bet you guys are, as you turn over some of the rocks at the Department of Education, you've exposed kind of similar grift there as well that you're working to clean up.
Absolutely. It's a work in progress. But I think there is no one better than Secretary McMahon to lead this charge.
Yeah, well, and then one more thing, and then I know you got to run. It's great to have Savannah Newhouse with us, press secretary for Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, here on the program with us. And yes, she was just in Montana last week. You talked about this national school report card, and we're going to do a deep dive into that later this week with some Montana guests as well. But let's just compare Mississippi to Minnesota. I don't know if you saw these billboards up in Minnesota, but they were basically saying, hey, Minnesota nice, but Mississippi smarter. Mississippi spends way less money on public education, and yet they're kicking Minnesota's butt right now.
That's right. We were just in Mississippi a few weeks ago, Mississippi and Tennessee, where they are really getting back to the fundamentals of reading, back to phonics learning, the science of reading. And we have seen success in how getting back to the basics, more children are mastering those literacy fundamentals early on. And look, we know every state's going to do things a little bit differently, not one size fits all. But, you know, I think we can agree, no matter what side of the aisle you're on or what your politics are, that our students deserve better than what we're giving them now. And if we're going to remain globally competitive, our third and eighth graders have to be reading better than 30% proficiency. And that's where we all need to find common ground.
Savannah Newhouse, thanks for what you're doing for America. Thanks for joining us on Montana Talks. Great to have you.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate all your time this morning. I think I've actually got a soundbite here from Governor Greg Gianforte's remarks. I think he shared this via X. So let me cue that one up for you right now. Yeah, one of the Flathead Beacon's got a story about how the governor, in his opening remarks during these meetings with Secretary McMahon, was highlighting basically education innovation and some of the career workforce programs. And some of the things he highlighted in particular were in the Kalispell schools and some of the programs that we're doing here. Here is the soundbite the governor shared via X.
The president's position is that he wants to return education to the states where it rightfully belongs. And I am in lockstep and fully agree with that. Because when you have education at the state level, it's parents, teachers, superintendents, governors who know what their state needs.
All right, there you go. Yeah, obviously a little fancy video with warm-up music and everything else, but highlighting the secretary's remarks to return more of this money and these decisions back to the states, which means back to the classrooms, back to the kids, back to the parents, back to the teachers. All right, I mentioned, you know, earlier as we were in between callers, in between guests, I mentioned this very important message that we got on our Montana Talks app from Tim in Billings. He says, Aaron, we need to get Donald Trump to remind everyone to get out and vote during the midterms. Well, I don't think we need to remind Donald Trump, but there's a lot of other people that need to be reminded, right, Tim? Anyway, get out and vote during the midterms and the next couple of presidential elections. This will ensure that the left will absolutely not vote to spite him. I would go one step further. Don't wait for the midterm elections next year. Don't wait for the presidential elections 2 years after that. We have elections in Montana right now. We just had some school elections. We've got some city elections, city council races, mayoral races. So don't wait till then, because you know the left is on the march. Anyway, the endorsements have been made for Billings mayor and city council. I'll tell you about that next.
There's beauty in going places. But there's something remarkable in going further. Introducing Atmos Rewards, where your loyalty opens more doors. Travel the globe with the number one airline rewards program. Experience more than 1,000 global destinations with over 30 airline partners. And keep going further. Learn more at atmosrewards.com.
Fox News commentary.
The LA Times sees Gavin Newsom as the left's answer to Charlie Kirk, and they couldn't be more wrong. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
I'm Clay Aiken.
I am Dre DeMatteo.
Hey, everybody, it's Billy Baldwin.
Hey, everyone, it's Patricia Heaton.
Hey, everyone, I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everyone, it's Candace Bushnell.
Hey, everyone, it's Henry Golding.
Hey, everyone, it's Zachary Levi.
Everybody's Kevin Nealon, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
Thank you for taking the quiz.
Gavin is a snake with many skins. I'd call him a chameleon, but a snake is more fitting. He's experimented with many different characters. He launched his podcast in an attempt to appear more moderate. He even had Charlie Kirk on as a guest and had a few points of agreement. But then he flipped and decided to go full TDS after President Trump prevented LA from burning to the ground during the ICE riots. So yeah, when I see the LA Times go out of their way to characterize Gavin as the left's Charlie Kirk, forgive me for calling BS. The article titled, Charlie Kirk Gave Young Men Something to Believe In, Newsom Wants to Do the Same, is a joke. Gavin will never be like Charlie for many reasons, but specifically, Charlie told the truth. Charlie did not waver. Charlie was steadfast and resolute. Gavin does whatever Gavin thinks will bring him the spotlight. They are not the same. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, high temperatures will range from the lower 70s in Bozeman to the mid-70s in the Billings area. For tonight, we're expecting clear skies, overnight lows from the mid-40s in Bozeman to around 50 in Billings. And then Wednesday's outlook calls for more sunshine, with highs near 80 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Death threats, protests, throwing plywood at Border Patrol vehicles, doxing agents, blocking traffic on Highway 93. This is some of what the deranged left-wing Border Patrol protesters have been up to in Whitefish. But is there an Antifa connection? I threw that question to Stacey Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana. Her answer and much more. Check it out.
And much more. All marked down. No matter where you live, it's worth the drive. Visit brettsrv.com today.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the conversation, of course, we got John Jackson, the Joker from X. I always got to laugh whenever I say that because you know it's coming. You know we're going to have a good time when the Joker's joining us here coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Hopefully he'll be able to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour of the program as well. But, yeah, to Tim and Billings' point, I hope that all of these folks who are now mobilized and engaged don't wait for the midterm elections next year. Don't wait for the presidential elections after that. Everybody always gets whipped up into a frenzy. Maybe not necessarily for the midterm elections, but for presidential elections and everything like that. But look at what the left is doing. The left is on the march. The left is going after school board elections in Montana. The left is going after nonprofit associations in Montana, because they know if they take over these nonprofits that they can even use those as a mouthpiece. The left is going after mayoral seats in Montana. And you watch, well, we've already got one example where they will also prop up so-called libertarians to try to siphon away conservative votes in order to help far left candidates get elected, even in mayoral races. That's what they're doing right now as well. Yellowstone County, good job by the Yellowstone County Republican women for taking the lead on this. I think I saw one of our friends in Carbon County shared this email with me as well. I got the email myself, but they actually put out an endorsement list for mayor and for all five wards in the Billings City Council races. And, of course, here's who they are endorsing for mayor, Jennifer Owen. Jennifer Owen is a rock. If you guys haven't gotten a chance to meet her or hear from her yet, she's incredible. I've known her for years. And I tell you what, she is going to be a difference maker for the city of Billings if she gets elected mayor. Ward 1, they're endorsing David Redman. Ward 2, Dennis Pittman. Ward 3, T.J. Rogers. Ward 4, Dan Tidswell, and in Ward 5, Tony O'Donnell. Now, I know somebody's going to call in. Can you read those names again? Go to x.com/Aaron Flint, and you've got all the names there. Go to facebook.com/Flint Report, and you've got all the names there. I'll try to get a story on our Montana Talks website as well. And I know there's going to be at least one of you that a month or two from now, you're going to be like, how come we never heard who to vote for? It's like, okay, go share this information. Go click there right now. And when I get the story on our Montana Talks website, go click it, read it, and share it with all of your friends that can vote in those elections. And likewise, if you're listening from another town or another, you want to call it city in Montana, get us your endorsement list for your neck of the woods as well, so we can highlight that, so we can share that. Because, look, people are busy. We're not the sit on the couch and suck up the government benefits while everybody else goes to work crowd. We're the people that go to work. So we're busy, and we're raising families. So help us help you. Help us get the word out to folks about these important municipal elections as well. We've already seen the left on the march taking back school board seats. So do it for Charlie. Don't just get out there and watch videos of celebrations of life. Get out there and win some stinking elections right now and do it for Charlie. Not that I speak on his behalf, but I can guarantee you he would be telling you to do this very thing. Hey, one thing I would tell you too, man, I'll tell you what, if you're somebody who's looking for a great locally owned, family owned, veteran owned business that you can support, but also they'll do some great work for you, get a hold of our friends at High Caliber Plumbing. High Caliber, veteran-owned business. Ron Gunn is the owner of High Caliber Plumbing, but, you know, they specialize in installing these Rinnai tankless water heaters where you never run out of hot water. They can also do emergency plumbing services for you as well, help you reduce your energy cost by up to 34%, all sorts of different things they can do for you to get innovative, save you some money, give you heated floors in the bathroom, make sure you never run out of hot water. I'll tell you what, highcaliberplumbing.com, highcaliberplumbing.com, or call today to schedule your service in the Billings Red Lodge areas.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send bad texts.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.